Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. God bless you. It is Torah today. It's His story. It's week one. We're all the way back to week one, and we're in Parashat Bereshit, which is in the beginning. That's our parashat for the week. It's the first week of the Hebrew calendar. We're in 5778, and things are looking great. Let's get together around the hearing, the reverencing of Yahweh, fellowship around Torah. We're going to talk about this bread that gives us life today, starting in Genesis chapter 1. These are your parashat readings for the week, Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 42 is your prophetic reading, verse 5 through 43, verse 10. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 is your New Testament reading. So I'm going to get ready to share these with you, and I'm going to be transferring or moving myself from the location I'm in right now to a little more quieter location. So if you just give me just a few seconds here, we're going to get situated. All right? You guys invite somebody while we are waiting. Go ahead and invite some people to the broadcast today. And I'm excited about today's topic. Actually, Genesis is one of my favorite books. And I believe that if you understand the beginning, then you have a clue as to what's going to happen at the end. But everything has an origin, and its origin is based on its purpose. It's intentionally set, and once that thing is intentionally set, it's going in a direction. And so today, as we're looking at the origins of things, the beginnings of things, we're going to be able to begin to identify the future of things. I believe also that there are a lot of cycles, cyclical seasons in God, and so a lot of times we're dealing with cyclical things, and we don't know the cycle of the thing because we have not given observance to the thing. The keys, Mother? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know where to. Hallelujah. So we're going to take a few minutes and just delve into this right now. I'm going to stand out here in the rain. It's just, for me in this season, it's so funny because as I'm sharing some things with you today, there are things that are just really strong on my mind, strong in my life in this season. And I believe this. I'm going to share this word of the Lord that He gave me to give to you today because I believe this is right where we are everywhere. Everybody that's a believer, that's a disciple, that's a kingdom citizen in this hour is dealing with the same things. And I want to decree and declare to you today that the thing that's causing the most, that's the crux of your aggravation in this season is the very thing that heaven is addressing in your life in this hour to bring you swiftly to the expected result, the expected outcomes of God. That's what's happening right now. And so I know that things seem a little tight. I know they seem a little irritating, a little aggravating, but you're not losing any more ground in this season. Don't give up another inch of territory. The adversary can't exist in the realm that he's been evicted from. And this is the realm that you now live in. You live in the heavenly realms. You are a realm in and of yourself. And so if you stay in the presence of God, if you understand your true identity, which I believe is so amazing about the book of origins, about the book of Genesis, it begins to discuss the character of God and everything about him, which is where our identity is located. Our identity is located in him. We are made in his image and in his likeness. And as long as we can begin to understand the character of God, then we can begin to walk in the proper image. We can begin to walk in the proper likeness, and we won't be easily persuaded. We will not be conforming to the things around us, but we'll be conforming constantly, becoming all that God has called us to be, and constantly conforming into the image of God. It's just an amazing time to be alive. I'm telling you that right now. And I made this statement on purpose because I know that there are many of you that are Bereans on the line. Many of you on the line have the spirit of the sons of Issachar. You'll go search out a thing. You believe in understanding what you ought to do. You believe in understanding what the body, where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And there are a lot of leaders that listen to me from all over the world. And so I'm excited to be able to share the things as the Holy Spirit deposits them in me. They're not for me. I'm not professing to have all of the information and all knowledge, but the Holy Spirit knows all things. And as he reveals to me, I'm giving it to you. And you can go and look these things up and search these things out and dig them out and walk in the revelation that God is revealing to his sons and his daughters in this season. We are in the hour of things being uncovered and revealed. When we start talking about origin, we start looking at the nature of a thing, at the very beginning of a thing, at the foundation of things. And this is the importance of life. Knowing the origin of a thing is an important factor, because if you know where a thing came from, you can already automatically identify the character of it, where it's going to go and what it's going to do, because it has an origin. And everything is made after its own kind. That's one of the principles in the book of Genesis, that everything is made after its own kind. But I mentioned this, that the adversary can't exist in realms he's been evicted from. And I wanted that to be a Selah moment. I wanted to throw that out there and kind of walk away from it for a minute and come back to it. But if you look in Revelation 12, there are two dynamics there. The first dynamic is where most people get stuck if they're Bible read, if you've read the Bible. Religious people get stuck on the one dynamic, that the adversary got kicked from the heavens, which is why we have a recreation of the earth in the first place, is because he was kicked from the heavens. He was kicked from his first estate. He and the third of the angels that he took with him were kicked out of the heavens, out of their first estate. But they were kicked to a realm. They were kicked down to the earth, but they also had a function. The adversary himself had a function where he was able to dwell in one of the realms of the heavens. And we know this because the book of Job describes that the sons of God came before God, and also Satan did the same. He came before him as well, which indicates that where the sons of God were able to access him, that the adversary was still able to get access to him. Now, why was he able to access him? He was coming there. We note the adversary as the accuser of the brethren, correct? And we note this. Now, when you look in Revelation 12, it talks about him being cast out of that place because he was the accuser of the brethren. He's been cast out of two estates. He's been cast out of his first heavenly estate, that first realm of the heavens, and then he was cast out of another realm of the heavens that gave him access to come and accuse the brethren. Read Revelation 12. There's two dynamics there. And the reason why I mention this is because the purpose of Genesis, the purpose of the origin of things, I believe that that whole thing was a recreation, that there was life before these things were recreated. And if it was not so, then it would not have been a need to be a recreation, because things wouldn't have existed before they existed. All right, if that made sense to you, then you're clear, okay? We can go forward. So there were things that existed before the Father began to step out on the expanse where all of the confusion was, because he says darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, there was a deep there. That means things had an origin. They already existed. Some of these things already existed, and he did some separating and some dividing and some defining. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so in the defining, the separating, and the dividing, he began to recreate some things and to create some other things that the world would function in a specific pattern and on a specific blueprint. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we're in Parashat in the beginning, and origin, that word Genesis means origin, okay? It's the very first word in the Bible, is in the beginning, that word Bereshit. And origins define things. Okay, I said that already. But there are several divisions that I want to share right here. The beginning provided illumination first. Now, we're going to talk about relational vision again, because this is absolutely imperative that you understand the connection to your whole life as it pertains to the book of Genesis. And I've got a whole lot that I want to share. I don't know how much time that I have to share, but I'm going to do my best. Listen, illumination was the first creation. He stepped out on the expanse, and he declared, after the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, he begins to declare, and that's a rabbit hole, a prophetic rabbit hole all in itself. the use of water, and it's a whole lot of things going on with that. But I'm not gonna get stuck there because I've only got 30 minutes. So illumination was the first thing that he expressed. Let there be light. He declared that light exists because there was a dark place. They were in a dark place. Then he continued on to make distinction and separation. So there the firmament was created. What is the firmament? It is the base. It's the support. It's the flat area that supports thing that's above it. Now, we know that this whole thing that he was dividing, he's talking about letting there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Well, there was just water. There was just a round mass of water. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he declares that a flat thing be put in the middle of this mass of water to divide the waters that would be above it and the waters that would be under it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he brings distinction and separation secondarily. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He goes on, and as he goes on, he begins to create, he does the distinction and the separation of the things in the earth, and then he begins to create the things that are to be deposited into both of these places. And I'm jumping ahead of myself now, but that's okay. Genesis describes the origins of everything, the origin of the universe, which is a sphere of activity, a sphere of interest or experience. And I'm throwing these things out there to you so you can look at these things a little deeper because I don't have time to read the verses. Genesis focuses on the origins of all kinds, okay, particularly mankind, and intentionally of creation and the origins of the nation of Israel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you need a relational vision. And I said this last night or Friday night on the broadcast that the Father was the originator. He was the original relational visionary. He was, because he had the thing in his mind first. He had created this thing in his mind that gives you the image of the thing. And now you're going to do the action of the image that you create, which is so important. The origin of things are based on the action, the image that you are putting action to, the action of the image that you've created in your mind or that is created in your mind or form. Genesis speaks a great deal foundationally of the character of Yah. It's a foundational place, and it speaks of the character of Yah. You need this foundation. When you're talking about the Father, you need Genesis because it gives you the foundation of his character. It gives you everything about his heart. Thus lending insight to our true identity, which, again, important because there are a lot of people that are living that still don't even understand why they were formed, what they were fashioned for, why they even exist. A lot of people don't even really have a true identity, and they don't really have a true meaning yet because they haven't understood who he is and who they are as it pertains to him, made in his likeness and in his image, the creation of Yah, humankind, mankind. And then we got a dual purpose here because we're not just flesh. We are spirit and flesh. We can operate on two different realms. We have dual citizenship. We've got dual citizenship because we have the ability to be seated in heavenly places while we're standing on the ground. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this book, Genesis, is a powerful book to give you all of the dynamics of the heart of God, the mind of God, the creation, the recreation, and the intentionality of God, what he intended, what was the original purpose of everything that he created. Origins properly understood help us understand and identify the path to our destination. I said that in so many other words just a second ago, but I'm going to say that again. Origins properly understood help us understand and identify the path to our destination. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to just break down just a little bit what happened here. We got 6 days of creation and then the Sabbath, right? We've got six days of creation, which I call recreation. A lot of it was recreation because it was formed from things that already existed. When we start talking about the waters, those waters were already there. And when we start talking about the firmament, that's something that he created. Are you hearing me? He created that thing, but you got to understand that there were elements, and I don't want to go too deep into this. The elements to create what he was creating were already formed because he had already formed them before. So everything that he already needed was not just in his words, but it was in the words that he had already spoken before that time. So everything that he speaks, it stays intact. Whether you're looking at it in the state that it should be in or not, it is already intact. I'll give you an example. The seed. When you look at a seed, it's not in its final form. It's in seed form. You have you don't have all of the information to know what that's going to look like in its final state It's going to be based on the soil that is put in. It's going to be based on the care that's given it. But you still don't have the final destination of that plant because you don't know how big it's going to be, how small it's going to be. You don't know how much fruit it's going to give, how much fruit it's not going to give. It is all encompassed in the seed. The programming, the purpose, the intent is all in the seed. And that's the thing that God formed before he even, before you even held that seed in your hand. Everything that was in, before it got released is what I'm trying to say. The seed was opened up and its potential and its potency was released. Least everything that the seed needed was already there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So 6 days of creation, what we call creation, which was really recreation for God. It was an exciting time. I'm sure it was a, you know, he began to declare some things. You know, when you're having recreation, you don't keep doing something that you're not enjoying. He declares after everything that he recreates, this is good. Everything that he creates, he said, now this is good, okay? And then the Sabbath. And Sabbaths are important. I want to remind you of that. Sabbaths are important. And a lot of people don't give much heed to the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is important to God. And it's actually one of the commandments that he gave. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We're under grace. Grace is the word that gives you, first of all, favor, your favor to do this thing. And secondarily, you're given the ability to complete the task that's before you. Are you listening to me? That's what grace is about. It's an unmerited favor of God that gives you the ability to finish the work. That's what you were born for. You were born to finish a work. And so he says this, listen, he says, don't forget about the Sabbath. He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, to keep it set apart. So you need to figure that out. You need to figure that piece out. I know a lot of people, particularly leaders, who don't see the importance in a Sabbath day. I know a lot of people who just work, 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 and just continue, continue, continue. And I'm telling you right now, you may have your prayer times during every day. You may have your set-aside disciplines and these kind of things. But there's a purpose for the Sabbath, and that's a resetting purpose. It's a purpose for you to look back at the week before, look back at the things that occurred, and begin to make the adjustment, to begin to declare and to decree and make verdicts concerning the future. But you can't do that if you don't take the time to sit down and overview all that's already been done. You don't have time. Then, okay, I'm not going to get stuck there. 6 days of recreation and then the Sabbath. Another account of creation is given, and then you look at the compromise or the sin and the punishment of sin. I want to talk about the power of roots for a second. The punishment of sin. The punishment is the root. The root of a thing provides the fruit of a thing. That's what I want to talk about for a minute. The root of a thing provides the fruit of a thing. And when we look at Adam, which is mankind, both male and female, from the beginning, they were given a specific establishment. They were given a specific environment. They were given a specific task to accomplish. Now, what they allowed to happen was for something outside of how they were created to come in and try to insinuate that they had a better idea. They became hungry for, they gained an appetite for a thing that was going to bring punishment and death upon them and not life. And it changed the root of the thing, which is why we got Cain and Abel, which is where murder came from. That's a shoot. That's an offshoot of what happened as a result of sin. We've got Cain and Abel and the murder that happened. We got the beginning of civilization, and we know how that was going. We're only going to chapter 6 today, but on the other side of chapter 6, you've got Nimrod and all of that business there. But when you look at this piece here, you've got civilization just doing the ridiculous from Adam all the way to Noah. The Bible declares that man's deeds, his thoughts were to do wickedly continuously. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You've got the daughters of men who want to sleep. The sons of God who want to sleep with the daughters of men and are choosing wives and just a bunch of stuff that's going on. And so now the father has to make a decision because this thing has become contaminated. The root has become contaminated and now it has to be dealt with. And so what does he do? He gives a blueprint. He already created a blueprint from the beginning, and it was a way that man was supposed to function. It was a way that man was supposed to build upon this thing. He gave some instructions. He talked about fruitfulness and multiplication and replenishing and subduing and having dominion, and all of these things were settled and set in place as a result of what he deposited in man, and the root of man was to bring these offshoots, was to shoot off these kinds of fruit. But when that contamination of sin came in, now the root is contaminated, and it's offshooting murder. It's offshooting wickedness, it's offshooting ideas. I love the book of Genesis, particularly around where the father steps into the garden. And we know that we're in the season of sound. I promise you, a lot of people were talking about sound some years ago, but they were just picking up on some things that the world was trying to operate in, because the enemy was trying to head off at the pass the reality that the sound of God is what controls things. The sound of God is what creates things. The sound of God is what brings the momentum of the kingdom. And so they begin to talk about the sound. Even in the church, they begin to talk about the sound. But the sound that they were releasing was not heaven's sound. It was the world's sound given in a church package. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now we're in the season, we're in the hour where the sound of God, the sound of the heavens is being released. There are some things being opened that were once shut, and the sound of God is being released in the land through manifesting sons. And I'm telling you right now, this kingdom without end is on a forceful advance, on a forceful advance. And so we're looking at Noah and what happens here with Noah. There's a remnant that is being resettled, you know, a remnant that's being replaced in another location. Something has to be done again here. So he floods the earth and he destroys everything that has breath in it. He's destroying everything but the things that were placed on the ark. He's destroying it all by water. He's destroying it all. And so here we go. We're looking at everything that he created. I want to talk about this for a minute. He filled it to produce. I want you to think about that for a minute. Everything that the Father created in this beginning, he filled it to produce. So let's look at a couple of things. The firmament he filled with lights and creatures of all kinds, both celestial. Okay, well, they are celestial. They're in the heavens. But we are creatures, we are his creation, I should say. We are new creation, new creatures, and we have an ability in the newness of creation to both be celestial and terrestrial. Terrestrial meaning earthbound, celestial meaning heavenbound. We can function between the two. And it's just an amazing time. We're in 5778, and the Holy Spirit declared to me that this is the hour of Jacob's ladder, and that was the angels of God ascending and descending. Well, let me tell you something. Heavenly angelic hosts, they descend first before they ascend. So it's not talking about the heavenly luminaries in that moment. It's not talking about those hosts that are from the heavens. It's talking about those that he created in the earth to be luminaries, to be those that are forerunners, to be those that are important or at the forefront of a thing, that are the influencers of things. That's where I'm trying to get to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So he creates the firmament, but he fills it with lights, and he fills it with creatures, birds and fowls. He fills it with the sun, the moon, the stars, heavenly luminaries. Another word for luminaries is newsmakers, and we understand that because he created the lights. He created the heavens, the stars, the moon, the sun, and all of those things for times and for seasons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For times, for set times, and for seasons, his appointed times, to divide time and to announce specific times that he was declaring. Newsmakers, are you listening to me? So we've got the celestial existing in the heaven, the heavenly, those things that are in heaven, of heavenly nature and heavenly origin, and terrestrial, which is earthly, in the earth, existing upon the earth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So these are all just amazing, amazing facts here, and I want you to really take some time to go and look into Genesis. I've given you the readings for this week. Go ahead and look into that and see what God is saying. Really, that was the reading that we're doing today, but you can look at that some more in this week before we get to next week's reading. Just amazing, amazing information that gives us the origin of things and the intent of things. That's so important. When we start talking about relational vision, and I want to share this really quickly because I'm talking about this irritation and this aggravation. I don't take lightly when specific things happen in my environment. I've learned not to be just overly irritated or aggravated about it, because what the enemy wants to do is he wants to take me out of my territory. He wants to take me off of the playing field that God has placed me in to operate and to decree and to declare and to bring verdicts and to bring judgment about things and to move things. He wants to bring me out of that place into a place of complaining, complacency, aggravation. He wants to bring me on his battlefield. And I'm telling you right now, that's not the place that we want to do battle. We want to do battle in the realms that God has given us to operate in, because the enemy can't get a footing there. He's not wise enough to maneuver there. He doesn't have the strength there, and he does not have the balance to operate in those realms. And so I had some issues with my phone last weekend. Well, lo and behold, I got some things straight. And lo and behold, here I am this weekend with issues that are worse than last weekend's issues. And I know the Holy Spirit has been declaring to me for several weeks now the origin of things. So it's funny to me that we're right back at the origin and this thing he's been talking to me about just for several weeks now. And I keep hearing the word historical. I keep hearing the word monumental. I keep hearing the word origin. And so what the Holy Spirit was sharing with me was there's some things that we're going to have to go back to the original intent of some things. I'm telling you right now, as much as I love technology, I believe that this thing has become a curse to mankind because we can't focus. We can't do anything. People have just complete and direct access to us all of the time. I'm telling you right now, I want to speak to the leaders for a second. Your phone is going to be the death of many of you because this allows people to have complete access to you 24 hours a day. You back in the day when I was coming up, and I know a lot of people on here are old enough to remember a landline. I'm going to get me a landline, and I'm going to make my phone a more private situation. I'm going to get a landline, and I'm going to make my phone a more private situation. Now, I will have a phone for business, okay? But what I'm saying is because people have so much access, we're just constantly busy. We're constantly busy with so many things, busy with everybody else's issue, busy with what everyone else wants. And we have less time to spend dealing with what is it that God is saying? What is it that God wants? Yes, we still hear from God as leaders. We absolutely do. But I'm getting to the place just on this week because my phone now, I can't even put my passcode in it. I can't even get in it. And I'm telling you right now, I understand. I used to be an Apple fan, and I understand that Apple wants to push everybody to the new phones, and they want everybody to do updates. And they feel like if you don't do the update, they're just going to destroy your phone. Well, my phone is paid for, so I really don't have a good taste in my mouth about a company that's going to make sure that my phone is inoperable unless I either buy a new one or keep the updates going. But anyway. That's a whole nother story because we got leaders out there really promoting Apple like they're getting a kickback, which they are, because nobody promotes Apple like that without a kickback. You're talking about, you know, anything else is the devil and Apple is the way to go. You're getting the kickback. But I'm telling you right now, I'm signing off of Apple products. As Apostle Chris, I'm signing off. They've got an agenda. They're going to be used in this season to get some things, some agendas of darkness pushed through, and I'm going to move on. You know, I'm going to go ahead and go back to Android for a second since that's what I got to do. But there's some things that God has given me, some positions that he's given me in this season, and maybe I'll share them in some other sessions. But what I want to say is people have way too much access. So we are constantly being fed what everybody else is feeding us. And God really is jealous for our time in this season. He really is. There are some people that I want to talk to on a regular basis. Those are the people I want to talk to. Those are the people that inspire me. Those are the people that enlighten me, that I pour into, that they pour into me. It's an equal balance. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just pouring out, and nothing's being given back to me. That's an equal balance. That's relationships. I'm talking about dealing with relationships versus abandonships, and a lot of us are dealing with abandonships. We're sitting on Facebook all day reading posts and liking everything that everybody's got to say. I'm about to swear off. I'm telling you, I use my Facebook page for ministry. But I'm telling you, I'm getting to the place where I'm just simply about to just swear off of some things and not even be involved. I'm already really isolated and not involved in a lot of stuff because people are just doing a lot. You don't even know that these people are using you to test you psychologically and all this stuff. I mean, people putting up all these things on their Facebook page, not even understanding these are psychological tests that they're giving the masses. They're psychologically testing you and making you undergo some things so that they can have information about where mankind is in his mindset, you know, as a mass, as a whole. I'm not even participating in none of that. And I said all of that to say that the origin of things matter. The origin of things matter, and we've got to get back to the origin of things, the origination of things. We need to get back to relationship the way it was established because a part of why a lot of marriages don't stay together is not just because of the fact that you married the wrong person, but you got too much going on. People got too much access to you. You're doing too much. You don't have a focus anymore. So, yeah, the origin of how a thing begins in the beginning, God, is important. But even if it begins in the beginning with God, if you don't stay with God, then everything that you do is not going to be of him. And this is important. So, listen, I want you to get in touch with me. KingdomAmbassadors247 @gmail.com. I hope that you were blessed by today's broadcast. Genesis is one of my favorite books, and I just went on ahead and shared some things because I couldn't really delve in like I wanted to, but there will be times when we're able to do that. Listen, until the next time we talk, I want you to know that you're blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. God bless you, people of God.